Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is our State Senator Jesse Green joining us once again. So thank you very much, sir, for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting towards the last few weeks of the legislative session here, and kind of one thing of note that the Senate was able to pass was some funding, and I think around the $1 million mark to give to nonprofits that would essentially, provide counseling services for pregnant women to not go down the abortion route. Can you tell us a little bit about that legislation that was passed by the Senate, first of all?
Yeah, you bet. The way it looks, it's going to be our pro-life bill of the year, and it passed with bipartisan support, so that was great to see. There was a couple Democrats in the Senate that saw the common sense legislation that this is. Senate File 2381, as you already said, it's $1 million that nonprofit groups that are supporting mothers can apply for to help them with their services. And we have a lot of nonprofit organizations, or a few anyway, in Iowa that are supported by church organizations and stuff to help just be that necessary support for mothers so they don't have to feel like that they have to choose an abortion. The vast majority of abortions, it's proven that women will choose them because they just don't feel like they have the support. These organizations, they may be faith-based, but if they do provide faith-based counseling to the women, that will not be reimbursed by the state. That would have to be reimbursed by other means. Texas was the first state, I believe, that had similar legislation as this. We're kind of modeling it after that. The biggest cost of this bill is going to be that prior, we were using Medicaid dollars for 2 months after the birth to help support the mother in various ways. And this bill will extend it to 12 months. So the vast majority of the expense is going to go towards that.
Well, and yet another priority from the governor was making some unemployment reform changes. And so I think last time we spoke, the House and the Senate had its own versions. Both of you pretty much agreed on reducing the amount of weeks that somebody could apply for unemployment from 26 down to 16. But the kicker was the Senate version would like to have a one-week waiting period installed in that legislation. The House has balked at it originally, but now they're reconsidering it after you all had amended the bill that was passed over from the House to you all back over to the House. Can you tell us just exactly where that bill sits, and do you believe that the House will conform to the Senate's proposal?
This definitely starts to feel like volleyball at this stage of the game where bills bounce back and forth. And I have a feeling that this bill is probably going to go to conference, which I'm not sure exactly the details of how that works. But when a bill keeps getting bounced back and forth and they can't come to quite a final agreement, then there's a conference that's held with a couple members of the Senate and the House to come to an agreement. But you're right that the governor's workforce proposal, this is basically what it is, changed it from 6 months that one can apply for unemployment to 4.5 months. Some believe that this is too strict. I think there's 5 states that currently have a 16-week limit. And so we are joining kind of a small group of states at that level. 16 weeks is something that contractors, construction workers, and seems like a lot of the labor industry seemed okay with. That 1 week waiting period, I really want to see that go through. Based on research that I've seen, a lot of fraudulent activity happens within that first week. And it's not that a worker will lose a week, it's just that that week is going to be tacked on towards the end of the unemployment period. So this is similar to what unions do with union workers and some of their contracts with union workers. If there's strike pay, there's a 1 week wait period with that. So it's nothing too egregious, but we'll see what happens. At the very least, I'm really pleased with this bill that taking it from 6 months to 4.5 months as for limitation on how many weeks somebody can apply. That's going to do a lot of good for our workforce environment.
All right. Now, moving off into something else, the House was able to pass, I believe a couple of weeks ago now, a moratorium from about 10 months to a year to not allow eminent domain to be used by these carbon dioxide pipeline companies that are looking to, there's three of them that are looking to go through the state of Iowa, one of which would like to get into Greene County just a little bit, about 12 miles from Summit Carbon Solutions. The House was able to pass this part of legislation over to the Senate. I just want to get your thoughts on that, Senator Green. Would you be in favor of such a proposal? And should the Senate pass this over to the governor's desk?
Well, I appreciate the House's efforts on this. This bill, I do think, realistically, I think it does a lot for public sentiment as far as giving people comfort that in the near term, eminent domain is not going to be utilized. But when I've dug underneath the surface on this issue and the process that the pipelines are at right now, the earliest that they would ever be able to get Iowa Utilities Board hearing to be able to possibly utilize eminent domain would be next spring anyway. So I think this bill is just kind of cementing the reality of what's happening and just giving people a little better feeling and a little more comfort in the near term. So honestly, I see an opportunity here to actually fix what I think is a little bit broken here with our policy. There is no threshold level or standard that has to be met in order for eminent domain to be can be utilized except for public use and public good. It's such a broad thing that the Iowa Utilities Board uses to determine whether or not eminent domain is can be used. Now, leading up to that point of a hearing, we do have some of the most stringent and a lot of hurdles for companies to go through in order to get to that point of having a hearing and then utilizing eminent domain. But it's just common sense. You look at drainage law, for example, it's been around for over 100 years, and we have thresholds that have to be met before a drainage project can go through and the whole drainage district be impacted by a project. Two-thirds of landowners need to voluntarily sign up for most drainage projects. And when you're a landowner, you just understand that this is part of being a landowner and how we get along with our neighbors and how we are going to go forward with projects. And I think when it comes to eminent domain, this is common sense practice and law that could be utilized for eminent domain. And I'm going to keep pushing for that two-thirds threshold level. And I'm sure there's nothing that's probably going to happen with this legislature this session. But in the off-season, I need to have those conversations with my colleagues because I think that's truly to thread this conversation and make common sense legislation. That's the only thing that we can do for the sake of our landowners to get anything substantial passed.
Would you like to talk a little bit about it's a non-election year for you, but you're still being active within the Republican Party.
Yeah, well, when it comes to policy, one thing that has crossed my plate in my mind is I want to research out, could we establish more veterans' homes across the state? Currently, we only have one veterans' home that's in Marshalltown. I think there is a need here that we need to establish maybe a couple more across the state so that family members don't have to drive so far to see their loved ones. When it comes to policy, that's what I'm going to try to research out a little bit more this summer. When it comes to politically, I'm really honored that the governor is going to do a fundraiser for me here in a couple weeks. It's on April 21st at the Fairway Conference Center. The governor is going to be my headline speaker. Congressman Randy Feenstra is going to be my other speaker. And I'm just so honored to be able to have her. I'm going to be doing my job to try to celebrate what we've accomplished and get people together for that. A lot of elected leaders, a lot of mayors around the district are going to come. If somebody wants to come, please give me a call and RSVP or hit me up on Facebook.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program. Here with our state senator is Jesse Green joining us once again. You're listening to the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.